What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Lots going on today in the world of movie news. Victoria Alonso was part of Marvel for a very long time, gone suddenly. More details coming out about her sudden departure. We'll talk about that. John Wick, that movie looks to be crushing at the box office. Talk about the targeted potential box office for the weekend and why we think that movies outside of the comic book movie realm are really starting to pick up. Star Wars, that's right. Star Wars. We lost Damon Lindelof, but it looks like we picked up the writer of Peaky Blinders. Good move, bad move, irrelevant until it happens. We'll talk about that and more. There's so much to talk about in general here today, and I'm by my lonesome. And I'll explain why in just a little bit. We are doing a full virtual event now with myself and the entire Big Thing crew, that if you join the website, and that's thechristianharloff.com, and you join up tomorrow, we're doing a full kind of explanation of everything that's going to be happening with the website in general, some big special announcements in general about things that we're going to be doing, road dates, things, potential, a lot of different things. So we hope that you join us over there. By the way, if you haven't done it already and you're brand new to the channel, do me a favor and show a little. Subscribe. Get us to 100,000. We're almost there. So we hope that you join us. It's a big thing, everybody. It's me. It's you. It's everybody. All right. Let's get to it. I'm ready. You're ready. Cool. What up, everybody? Thanks for joining me here today. It's me, Christian Harloff, on The Big Thing. If you have not already done this, please, obviously, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're on video. Oh boy, do I get it when I don't put the video on Spotify. I get it all the time. Why does that happen all the time, people want to know? That's because I usually upload straight to YouTube, and I always give myself a note. Hey man, upload to Spotify, and then I get caught up with other stuff. I'm working on it, guys. I'm trying to build it. I'm trying to build it so we get more people to help, but I got to be smart about it. And that's what I've been doing. And that's why this announcement tomorrow is going to help a lot. So we hope that you join us over there once again at thechristianharloff.com. Roxy and Brett usually on the show. Obviously, Steph and Mike weren't on. So I mentioned this on Sith Council, Big Thing Sith Council yesterday, if you didn't check it out. But someone in my house got sick, and it was, you know, getting better. But problem is, closed area, people were like, hey, man, I don't know if I necessarily want to come in and get sick. I was like, I get it. I totally understand. And that's another reason why we were going to do the big kind of big party event on Friday with everybody in studio, but instead have to do it virtual. But we have just too much to announce, and we want to kind of tell you guys the future of everything we're doing. So instead of pushing it back, it's kind of very important that we get these announcements out and tell you everything going on. So we are going to do everything. Everyone's going to be together. It'll be managed chaos. But another reason why today, crew's off. They'll be back next week. And yeah, so just wanted to be upfront, as I tell everybody. This week is just a bunch of solo shows, although Capes and Cowls will be virtual tomorrow with myself, Winston, and Coy. We're going to do one virtual show together. So I'll have the guys on that show tomorrow, and then we should be hopefully in working order by next week in studio and all that. So thanks for sticking with us, bearing with us and all that. And as always, keep the comments coming. Really great comments coming in. You guys are very, very impressed with this community, I have to tell you, because you look at the kind of the past, and I made an observation over it. To be honest, I've been streaming a lot, live streaming on the old Schmodown channel that's just called the Christian Harloff and Friends channel, which is just a live streaming channel. If people want to go over there and you know, interact, ask questions, support the channel, that's what that channel is necessarily for, right? But what I noticed is it carried in a lot of the old kind of, I don't know, the chat was not great. That's why I don't really pay attention to a lot of the live chat happening. When people come in and they're asking particular questions and they're donating questions, and it's kind of the show itself. But a lot of the live chat, there's a lot of great people in the live chat too, by the way. But it just seems like this channel, for some reason, this one that we're on right now, it's just a really nice, positive conversation. And even when people are coming in to give critiques and criticisms, it's I mean, not 100%, but I'd say 90. I like the conversation in here. I've seen so many different times, like even recently, hey, I don't really agree with what you guys said there, but I'll tell you what I do agree with. And then it goes into this. But then there was, I'm not going to, with the way that this week has been going, I'm not going to lie. I've definitely been a little bit more on edge than I promised myself I would be. And I did that today. We're all human, right? But I did this today. So we posted this short about, basically about Fred, the YouTube guy. And yeah, at one point, he was like one of the biggest YouTubers out there. And so this guy goes, he writes on the comment, and he goes, Mr. Beast has always been the biggest YouTube guy, you fucking morons. And I don't know if it was the New York in me or if I was pissed off in general, but I normally, what I have promised myself the way I should have answered that particular comment is one of two things. Delete it, nobody sees it, hide the person forever. Or say, hey, you know, sorry you feel that way, but I just remember Fred being the guy for a long time, and, you know, that's kind of what it is. That's normally how I've been this new, since starting the channel, how I promised myself I would deal with everybody. And if some people just want to be dicks, you just throw them out afterwards too. You have that initial conversation. I didn't do that this time. And my response was, Fred came out in 2005, or Fred started his YouTube channel in 2005, and Mr. Beast started his channel in 2012, dickhead. Should I have done that? Did Koi Jandro possess me for a little bit? Yeah. Was it the mature thing to do? No. Should I have done it? Probably not. But, you know, had the moment of weakness and did it. And I think it's this week. It is this week. So I want to make sure that I'm going to stick to my approach of the way that I was doing it. Because it's not, life's too short, guys. Life's too short. And you're not going to change people. And the philosophy has been helping me out tremendously over the last last year and a half on this channel. And I think it's the reason why, to be completely honest with you, as I just said, the reason why this community is so, on this channel is so, you know, good and I think polite and intelligent is because of that philosophy of encouraging, even when someone says something, you talk to somebody and go, hey, let's have the conversation. So again, it was on the short and I was like, just felt like calling somebody a dickhead. Shouldn't have done it, but hey, what do you do? Anyway, let's talk about some of this news. All right, let's talk about this Victoria Alonso story. It's pretty nuts. She's the head of, all right, let's talk about this Victoria Alonso story. Last week, she was just let go, all right, let's talk about this Victoria Alonso story. She was let go a couple days ago. She was the president of Marvel's physical production, post-production, VFX, and animation. And Variety's talking about a little bit more details on what had happened. So Variety was reporting that the decision was made by a consortium including Disney Entertainment co-chairman Alan Bergman, to whom all of Marvel Studios reports. Alonso's longtime boss and Marvel's CCO, Kevin Feige, was reportedly not involved in the process and did not intervene. Alonso joined Marvel Studios in 2006 and has been a fixture alongside Feige and co-president Luis D. Esposito up until this week. Numerous sources for the trade indicate that Marvel has been under tremendous pressure over the past few years. The company has pushed out 7 movies, 8 streaming series, and 2 TV specials in a span of just under 2 years. Alonso worked to get all of that through Marvel's post-production process, and last summer the strain on the studio began to show as the visual effects artists took to the internet to loudly complain about the studio's demanding work schedules. A lot of the complaints basically came down to Marvel not providing clear enough guidelines and decisively figuring out what they wanted beforehand. Then came the release of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania with a rampant complaint about visual effects. The film ended up with $463 million global box office haul and will likely struggle to break even. understandably has led to a slowdown of the Marvel rollout, as the trade indicates 5 works for Disney Plus were originally planned for this year. That list has now been narrowed down to 3 or 4, with the others moving to 2024. Taking at least some of the pressure off of Marvel's post-production pipeline. Alonso's replacement has not yet been announced. No announcement yet for Alonso's replacement. All right, there's a lot here. A lot. The first is, when the announcement came, nobody really knew. Did she leave on her own? Did she leave something that was they were working on? It was kind of mutual. It seems like she was blindsided by it from what they said inside of the report. Didn't see it coming. And if you look at the report of what Variety says, I mean, a lot of it makes sense to where you've got to, is there potentially a scapegoat situation here? Maybe. In the idea that when you're trying to cut salaries, you're trying to cut costs, you're trying to cut these things to, because all these layoffs are coming for Disney in April anyway, because they've got a clean house for all the debt they're in from the streaming stuff. And again, movies like Ant-Man that didn't deliver in the way that they thought they would. I don't think that it's unfair to say that Marvel, and they are, needs a bit of a rehaul. They need to change up what they're doing, and they need to. I don't know if it's too easy to just say, well, they got to do it the way they used to do it. In a certain aspect, maybe you say, well, it is yet easy to say. Focus more on the stories. Focus more on the things, and maybe focus less on some of these big spectacle CGIs and. Maybe don't release as much as you have been, which seems like ultimately what they are doing. Now, the question is, how much more details will come out about Victoria Alonso, right? How much more will come out about the idea? Because there is that, I guess, not elephant in the room anymore that they're talking about with the visual effects teams that were really unhappy, whether it was, I remember during like She-Hulk, and they even made a thing about it at She-Hulk. There was a joke about it. And there's two different reports that I also read in this whole thing that said that there is one report that says that the visual effects is that she was a nightmare to work for and that she was really, kind of looked down on people. And then there's another report that completely refutes that and says, no, she was a pleasure to work with and she was nothing but a consummate professional. So who knows what really comes out? You know, there's two sides to every story, right? So who knows? But the question is, because Feige doesn't intervene inside of this one and he doesn't get involved. The question is, at that point, though, Feige does seem like the kind of person, he's probably, his hands are tied at this particular moment. But if he really thought that she was going to help move Marvel to the next direction, wouldn't he have found a way to fight for her if that was the case? And maybe just thought it was time for her to go. But so that's why I said, I can't really intervene. Who knows? Who knows what the real story is? But you can speculate and continue to speculate because it's massive. Because like they said, she just won this award or won either nominated or won. I can't remember what the fucking thing said. Yeah, I just read it. But either way, Argentina, 1985. And then 8 days later, they just let her go. Now, to her, probably sudden, not to the powers that be. That's probably been something that's been talked about for a little bit. And maybe, I definitely think that Marvel has an over CGI problem at the moment. I think I said that even so, like I mentioned with Ant-Man and the Wasp when seeing it, my initial reaction has not changed from when I saw the movie and I stand by the whole thing. I enjoyed it. Why? Because it was a different kind of science fiction movie that I thought was really messy. I thought that it was chaotic towards the end, and I definitely could see you go back and watch the reaction. I said, I could see a lot of people not liking this movie, and this is going to be a very divisive film. But I stand by the fact that I think it could have been a lot better film if they didn't make it this big chaotic CGI ending. That's what people want. People want to go to the movies, and they want the big science fiction, or not even science fiction, the big popcorn, over the top CGI, boom. And it's like, no, we don't. And I think that you like look at something. People are going to go, what the hell are you talking about? Look at something like Avatar and Top Gun Maverick. Obviously, you don't find more CGI and effects than Avatar, which I think just won the Oscar for. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to do it, blend it with the emotion. Blend it with the story that happens overall. Make me care about that fight more than just it being a spectacle. And to me, that's what Avatar The Way of Water did. It's a massive spectacle. It's a massive CGI fest. It's a massive effects parade. But they earn it with the emotion that they set up throughout the story, at least in my opinion. I loved the second Avatar. And Top Gun, same thing. A lot of CGI in that movie. But you can't really even tell, you know, because the people are... It's not about the CGI fest. It's, again, about the mission that is teed up from the beginning and the emotion tied behind the mission of how Maverick's got to do this, got to lead these people to be part of this mission, and it's the lead up to it. So the fights are the dog fights and all that are part of the emotion. Ant-Man didn't have that. A lot of these Marvel movies right now don't have that, and they did at one point. They did, like Civil War is an example, right? When not only the massive fight that happens with all of the heroes in the airport, like that's a big CGI fest in general. But again, it's earned through emotion because it leads up to this thing. Is it in essence a bit of a gimmick to go, oh, watch the two sides fight? That's why you're there. Of course, that's why you're there. But they earn it. They earn it from the beginning of what's happening with the Accords and how it builds up and how they finally get there and in the introduction to Spider-Man and these different things and the emotion that T'Challa is feeling for the loss of his father and just so on. There's just, you just go through it. That's just a little bit. You can break down each and every character and know why they're there and why they're fighting and the things that they're going through. And it's a big buildup, and it's earned, and it's really earned at the end of that movie when Tony knows that he shouldn't be going after Bucky, but he can't help himself. And the music that swells at the time, the fight that happens at the end, and it's not necessarily a big, massive, huge battle. They used a lot of it for the fight that I was just talking about, but it's the emotion behind Cap and Tony kind of going at it and having this big fight. But it's that's just kind of my point of where Marvel needs to get back to. Like, earn it. Don't just throw it against the big CGI fest. And maybe that's what they realized. And maybe that's what they're trying to maneuver. And maybe Victoria Alonso was kind of leading the charge on more CGI and more big battles and more of those types of things. I don't know. But nonetheless, very curious to see. I don't think this story is over. So we will learn more. But moving on to the next one. All right, this is a big story. You guys know I've covered it on this channel. People have been covering it. Damon Lindelof is gone from the Star Wars film. But right away, when all this news broke, they made a big announcement that Steven Knight, who created Peaky Blinders, is going to take over the screenplay writing duties on the untitled Star Wars movie that Charmin Obaid-Chinoy is attached to direct. Knight is going to take over from Damon Lindelof and Justin Britt Gibson. They left the project, which is widely expected to be the first new Star Wars film to hit screens following the release of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, which came out in 2019. Knight is a veteran screenwriter who has penned all sorts of films over the years, including Eastern Promises, Locke, Allied, Spencer, Serenity, The Girl in the Spider's Web, Seventh Son, and more. On TV, he's a creator and writer of Taboo, C, and Peaky Blinders. Lindelof and Britt Gibson, were hired a while back to write a script and turned in a draft this year before exiting in February. News of their exit hit more recently and in the wake of reports that several other Star Wars projects in the works, Patty Jenkins, J.D. Dillard, and Kevin Feige, have all been shelved. Now, aside from this one, there are potential Star Wars films from Taika Waititi, Sean Levy, and those seem to be the only ones that are still active. There's going to be more information about all this Star Wars news at Star Wars Celebration, which is coming up in April. All right, lots to talk about here. Lots to talk about. So the problem is, as we said, I've been talking about this. A lot of people have been talking about this. This keeps happening with Lucasfilm, right? They bring a creator in, creator leaves, creative differences. They come, they bring someone else in. It doesn't happen. It should happen. Who knows? This is what I think should happen at Star Wars Celebration. If they're going to actually announce this movie, they're going to obviously have Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy come out. They're obviously going to have Stephen Knight potentially come out. Potentially. But if you can bring them out, tell us exactly what the movie's going to be about, give us some cast, and tell us when this thing starts shooting. It starts shooting tomorrow. Great. Still, I don't believe it until I see it or see a trailer, but still, if it's like that real, it needs to be like, not like, oh, look, here's this presentation, like what they do with Patty Jenkins. She got a helmet out, and then she's flying on an X-Wing, and then here we go. We're going to get this movie, and then you don't get it. Don't give me some presentation that you shot for this thing, because that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Talking about this guy in particular, is this a good fit? How do you say no, it's not a good fit? The guy's a fantastic screenwriter. And just from Locke was one of my favorite movies of that year. And it was, that's the kind of detail that I think is missing from Star Wars movies. I think those kind of conversations and that kind of what we were just talking about with Marvel, layer in some more of the character development like you did in Andor. Layer in some more of if you're going to build, if you're building out a new universe, not a new universe, but new time period that happens after Rise of Skywalker, and you're gonna be the ones that said it. Get a guy like this that puts in detail. I think it's a great move if they can actually, if he doesn't leave in a month from now and say no, he had ideas and they didn't like what he was doing, so he's gone now. And the question has been like, why is Kathleen Kennedy still there? People keep asking that question. Why is she still there? Why? She's got a very good relationship in general with Iger, Disney, and as many people have pointed out, and I've pointed out, she's got a lot of wins for Star Wars as far as films go. She only has one loss with Solo. I don't care if you like the movie or not. Financially, it was a loss. But she has more wins than losses financially. So they're going to give her an opportunity to make more money for them. But I think that this is what I think could happen with Kathleen Kennedy. I think she's going to have Indiana Jones, which is going to make a lot of money. It's going to be a kind of walk off the court moment for her. And that is why you're going to get these movies, whether it is Sean Levy's movie, Taika Waititi's movie, and now this movie, Chinoy's movie. I think Chinoy's movie is going to, now we shift the focus. Maybe that was another reason why. Maybe the focus was getting more of the shift towards Lindelof, and now it's definitely going to become her movie. And probably rightfully so, if she's the one who's directing it and putting it through. She's like, why does Lindelof keep getting all the headlines and press for it? It's my movie. Yeah, they're going to have a screenwriter, but I'm the one who's going to bring it to life. So, and I understand that. But I think her movie goes first, and I think Kathleen Kennedy will not be part of Lucasfilm when the movie comes out. But it doesn't mean she doesn't get credit for it. If she's the one who sets it up, and she's the one who sets up the, you know, if Taika's movie goes and then Sean Levy's movie goes, she's still getting producer credits. She's still seeing it happen in her bank account. She's still seeing all that stuff. So I think she's going to set up these three movies. She's going to have the two or three at least, and she's going to have them set up. She's going to have all these other shows, the Acolyte and Andor season. She's going to have all her name on all these shows still that she's going to get. And she walks off the court, whether you, me, think she did a good job or not, she's going to have all those things, and then she's going to set up her own company or be part of other projects, and she's going to do what she's always done, and that's make movies. But I think that's the plan, and I think that's why and I also think they're also obviously being pressured to make more Star Wars movies, and they have to do it. But finally, they know that they're going to make some, they bring in a guy like this, like they bring in Knight to see it. Like it does, if the movie happens, it gets me excited that if they're like, okay, well, this is the guy we're getting instead of Lindelof, we're getting this guy who created these shows, who's done very extensive, and maybe it's a little darker of a movie. We bring in a guy like this, which I'm all for, a little bit more serious, maybe because they see, like, critically, they saw what Andor did critically. And looking at, you know, they want to be taken a little bit more serious, so they bring in a guy like this. To do less of the popcorn thing and make it like a little bit more of an idea of let's really dive deep into it. Maybe so. I'm going to be like everyone else and say, I believe it when I see it. How long before this guy goes, yeah, I've turned in three drafts that are fantastic. I know it will work, but I'm getting these ridiculous notes and these other things that just aren't working. We're not seeing eye to eye. Creative differences, I'm out. It's that's kind of like a sure bet right now. You hope it's not, but it's happened way more often. They brought in creators of other big shows. They brought in Lindelof, creator of Lost, or co-creator of Lost, whatever, creator of Leftovers, Watchmen. They brought in Benioff and Weiss. They brought in people that have gone, bye-bye. My notes were pretty, my script was good. You have a different idea of what you want me to do, and I don't want to do that. Bye-bye. And you have to look at the leadership. Again, this is something I said yesterday, I think on the live stream too. And I'm not encouraging anybody to do this. I'm just curious of it's very interesting that this doesn't happen, because you look at the discourse on social media in general, right? And I know there's a lot of people who are just screaming into the void, and there's other people who are legitimately like, what's going on? Just asking the questions. But I look at it, if you look at it like a sports team, and if there's a coach of a team that just keeps making bad moves and continuously just keep making bad moves, when that coach hits the field, they don't get applause. And I'm always looking around people when I go to Star Wars Celebration and I see people like, you know, yeah, all right, woohoo, yeah. And it's like, so I'm not saying some people don't feel that way, but then you know there's people in there that are bitching about it on Twitter that are going, and you're cheering still. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know how long it lasts. I don't know how long it lasts. I think after Indiana Jones we get the announcement, but this Steven Knight move, it's a good move. It's a good move. And if they stick with it, and with Chinoy directing, Steven Knight writing, that's a great combination. If all this stuff had never happened with continuously losing people left and right, and this was like the first, like let's say they had never lost any directors or creators ever. And they still hadn't made a movie since 2019. And this was the first announcement. The director who had directed a lot of the, I think most of the episodes for Ms. Marvel, which I really enjoyed, again, because of character development, telling a story that wasn't necessarily, the superhero thing was the least interesting thing of that show. It was the family and the way that the family was shot and the way that the family was directed. And so that type of stuff, that and coupled with this guy on his writing, that's a great combination. So if that announcement comes out and you go, whoa, great team. And they're actually making the movie and they're going to start shooting and have never had any problems beforehand, we'd be a lot more excited right now. Even if it was the same movie, Rise of the Skywalker, even if it was the same, Last Jedi, all that stuff. If they announced that this was it and they have this team, people would be a little bit more confident than they are. It's not against the people that are involved. It's the idea that you're thinking, okay, but is what will it really happen? So that's a pretty big story. I'm excited to see what's going to happen at Star Wars Celebration. We will see. I'll tell you what you need to see about. People keep asking. People always wonder how you support the show. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you about two sponsors on the show right now, and that is Sunday and Athletic Greens. Spring is around the corner, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it for a lot of different reasons, but Sunday is back, not the day. The peeps who bring you great lawn care. I've talked about them before. People have used them for my show before and have raved about them before, and I'm glad that they are back. I love it when it starts to warm up here. You know, we're getting a lot of rain, a lot of cold. It's starting to warm up. Going to be great. I'm going to be in the yard a lot, hanging out with the kids, and we're doing a lot of garden stuff over here. It's one of the greatest parts of spring. Sunday's lawn care, it makes it easier to enjoy. It's great. Spring's here. Days are longer. Flowers are blooming. And we can just spend outside in the yard with the kids doing some stuff and making the season even better is Sunday lawn care. It's everything that you need to get the lawn that you dreamed of. Sunday is everything you need to get the lawn that you dreamed of. So this spring, go to GetSunday.com/big thing. Enter your address to get a customized plan created just for your lawn. You just need a hose to apply Sunday. You can fertilize your whole lawn in less time than it takes to watch an episode of your favorite TV show. That's it. And they only use ingredients that you can feel good about. There's no harsh chemicals. There's no long waiting periods or trying to keep your kids and pets off the lawn. You just apply it, you let it dry, and you're good. Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off. It's a full season plan. It starts at $109, but you can get 20% off when you visit getsunday.com/big thing at checkout. You're going to get 20% off custom plan, GetSunday.com/big thing. GetSunday.com/big thing. I'm telling you, man, you will love this. You help yourself out. You help the show out. You'll enjoy it, and your lawn will look beautiful. AG1, baby. Athletic Greens. You guys know it. I talk about it all the time. We love them. We're so glad that they are a sponsor. So happy to have them. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens every single day. I gave it a try, honestly, because Brett was raving about it. And then I did it and got the whole crew on it, and I've talked about it many times over. Did you watch that Katie Sackhoff interview? She raved about it. Why? Because I take it in the morning. I put it in a water bottle. I shake it up. It just makes me feel good. Gives me that energy. I'm ready to go. It's amazing because I'm not a big supplements and vitamins guy. I've told you that many times over. So they just take everything. They put it in one delicious scoop. You put it in the water. You shake it up. And why would you want to take a bunch of different things? You can just take one scoop of powder and water once a day. Done. Not a big vitamins guy. Not all these different supplements. You got to take multiple in order to, oh, finally, I did it. Why? Why would you take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop of powder in water once a day? That's it. AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better without having to do a lot. So for me, it's just the all-in-one formula. So easy, and it's delivered to me every month. Been very easy to make it a daily habit. And I have all these side traveling packs too. With the live shows coming up, going to be crucial. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. You got to go to athleticgreens.com/big thing. athleticgreens.com/big thing. Check it out. Thanks once again to Athletic Greens and Sunday Lawn Care. Right around the corner spring's starting. Get that stuff. It's awesome. And Athletic Greens, what I can tell you about Athletic Greens? I've been telling you about Athletic Greens. You want to support the show? You want to support yourself? Check it out, man. I put the link in the description, but I also put it as a pinned comment. So go ahead, check it out. All right, let's talk about John Wick, baby. John Wick 4. It's targeting $70 million for an opening debut. It's the fourth and the biggest installment of the Keanu Reeves-led action thriller series John Wick. It is aiming to set a new franchise record at the box office. Once again, this is from Dark Horizons. The critically acclaimed new film is on track to take in $65 to $70 million domestically this weekend and a further $35 to $45 overseas, worldwide total of anywhere from $100 to $115 million by Sunday. That continues the franchise's knack for its opening weekend to increase with each entry, jumping from $14 million for the first to $30.4 million for the second and $56 million for the third. It costs more than $100 million to produce. The new film has the biggest budget of the series thus far and expected to surpass the third film's $328.3 million global gross before it leaves theaters. Shazam floundered. Creed and Scream sequels did record opening weekend benchmarks for their respective series, with Wick to do the same and easily take the top spot in the process, even with 169 minutes runtime limiting sessions. So this is kind of what I said in my opening, and I think relevant to what we were just talking about, whether it's with Star Wars and Marvel, right? The comic book movie genre right now, the idea of fatigue is not a relevant conversation when it comes to just saying, well, people are just tired of superhero movies. I think people are tired of subpar superhero movies. People are tired of things that don't move the needle, of things that aren't different, things that are generic. I liked Shazam 2. I thought it was good. I thought it was predictable. I thought it was something we've seen a million times over. But it was fun. It was fun. Should it have made $100 million? No. I think more people would have enjoyed it. Like my friend Justine Marino yesterday, he was like, hey, is it terrible? It did so bad. Should I see it? I was like, it's fun. You'll have a good time watching it. She's like, as a casual fan, will I get it? I'm like, you will. It's fun. It's a fun time at the movies. But I understand why it didn't do very well. And I don't think just blaming the Rock for it is the right way to go. Sure, they could have had a cameo in Black Adam. Black Adam didn't make $1 billion to get people more so that, I mean, they tried to put Superman back in it, Superman, and people didn't see the movie for it and didn't, well, it would have added a little bit more money because people would have seen it at the end and it would have been a little bit more of a tie-in. Okay, but how much really? $2 or $3 million? $5 million? $10 million? Pushing it to 40 opening weekend? I mean, I'm not saying that. Do I think that The Rock was a little petty in the way that he handled the Shazam thing? Yeah, I do. But is that? But should he be blamed for the reason the movie didn't do well? Clearly, him and Zach Levi have beef. Because even though they asked Zach Levi the other day, I saw some interview where they're like, "Hey, have you seen Black Adam?" He's like, "No." And they're like, "Well, you're gonna watch this?" He's like, "I don't know. I got a lot of other things to watch." And then he posted out, "The truth will set you free." So he's clearly pissed off at The Rock. And The Rock hasn't. I don't think The Rock has responded. No idea. But blaming The Rock for this. Now, blaming marketing, sure. You could blame the marketing for it. I don't think it was marketed very well. But I do think that it's this kind of generic thing that has been happening. I think it's the reason why Ant-Man didn't play very well. Like I said, I didn't mind both those movies. Didn't mind either one of them. But I don't know why you'd rush out to see that movie. Is it one of the ones you rush out to see? Is Doctor Strange something you rush out to see? Thor Love and Thunder, rushing out to see? Hell, I like The Eternals. Is it something you rush out to see? John Wick 4, you rush out to see. Because it's part of the... Now, I will say this. I think that you have to... And I put my immediate reaction to John Wick up. I put my review up. Non-spoiler review up of John Wick. John Wick, the first one, was the most based in reality out of all of them. Each one gets a little bit more silly. And by silly, I mean, I shouldn't say silly. Let's take back silly. Over the top, really over the top. Like the idea that, you know, you could fall pretty far and you're going to be all right. I don't have a problem with that. If you had a problem with number three and thought the three was just too over the top, then you ain't going to like four. But if you just have fun with these movies and just are just going to watch Keanu Reeves kick some ass and have some fun inside of this lore that's been going on over, apparently this is what the creator said, over this whole story takes place in the span of like a year and a half. And you just follow that ride, you're going to have a blast with John Wick 4. And it's long and it's epic. And I had a blast with it. I really did. And I think people are going to rush it. This is the reason why it's tracking the way it does, because it's such a, and it's a different, it's a good movie to watch, in, a great movie to watch in the theater. And a different alternative than watching superhero movies. So was Avatar. So was Creed. So was Scream. So was Top Gun. So Mission Impossible is going to do very well. Fast 10 is going to do very well. This is especially the comeback after the pandemic. We're going to start to see the spike. There it is. The spike for these movies. And then we have. But subpar superhero movies ain't going to cut it anymore. Black Adam, again, another movie I enjoyed watching. But it's a generic late 90s superhero movie that I don't expect anyone to rush out to see, because there's so many of these movies now. It's like, what's different than anything else? So we have a patron who usually does the opening for Capes and Cowls and does the opening for Sith Council, and it's Wicked Art. He's an incredible artist. And he said to me, and I've talked about this before, he's like, "Look, man, I choose my family." He's got two kids, he's got his wife, and they go and they watch movies, but they gotta pick. They gotta pick what they're gonna watch. It's like, well, we're gonna spend money to see this, or we're gonna spend money to see that. I don't know. This looks pretty generic. I don't really have an interest for it. What's different than the other things that I've seen before? Does it carry on to anything else? I don't know. I don't want to spend my money on that when I could be spending my money on this that I want to be. It's a movie I'm looking forward to. And that's you got to, and especially in March when you had Scream, Creed, John Wick, Dungeons and Dragons, and 65, which didn't do very well anyway, but Shazam was in trouble in general. I don't think they ever should have moved their date. I think they should have stuck at their last date when it was. Anyway, that's it, guys. That's it for that story. So I'm very curious to hear what you guys think. Am I anywhere near? Right here? Wrong? Got to get your thoughts on it. So go ahead and comment and let me know exactly what you think. All right, next story. All right, and for the last story of the day, I thought this was interesting because that's... We're getting closer and closer. All these AI programs are coming out, man, like the AI photos, the AI writing apparently now. And listen to this. WGA takes a stance on AI screenwriting. This is from Garth Franklin. The Writers Guild of America has clarified its stance on works created with the help of artificial intelligence. Reports earlier today suggested that the WGA might let AI tools such as ChatGPT be used in script writing as long as writers still get credit for the result. The proposal was reportedly made on Monday during a negotiation round with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. Since then, however, both the West and East branch of the Guild have posted a Twitter thread detailing their proposal to regulate use of material produced using artificial intelligence or similar technologies. The main aim is to ensure that AI can't be used to undermine writers' working standards, including compensation, residuals, separated rights, and credits, according to the posting. AI can't be used as source material to create MBA-covered writing or rewrite MBA-covered work, and AI-generated text cannot be considered in determining writing credits. Writers may not be assigned AI-generated materials to adapt, nor may AI software generate covered literary material. Whilst a studio can make a writer aware of AI-generated content, it is research material only and has no role in Guild-covered work, nor in the chain of title in the intellectual property. As the Guild points out, AI software does not create anything per se. It generates a regurgitation of what's fed and cannot distinguish between copyright-protected and public domain content. Therefore, its output is not eligible for copyright protection. Therefore, its output is not eligible for copyright protection, nor can an AI software programs sign a certificate of authorship. To the contrary, plagiarism is a feature of the AI process. It is unclear how the AMPTP will take to this proposal, but the Writers Guild's current contract is set to expire on May 1st. It's so interesting on so many different levels. Just the AI programming is so new. It is so young. It's like the, you know, back in the day when the internet, there's some video I saw recently, the internet in like 1995 and what the internet was like in 95 as opposed to what it is today. And the same goes for the AI programs. You know, look at the AI programs for like the voices, right? As I had Brian Monarch on here with Joe Gaudette a couple weeks ago, and those guys are responsible for the program. You've seen the Arnold basically doing the voice of Jack from Titanic. Look at my boobies, Jack, that whole thing. And they've done tons of them. They're really great. Joe does a spot on Arnold, and Brian Monarch is like he's become like a master of this, like the deep fake technology and all that. But the reason I bring that up is I was watching some of his videos and there was like a Joe Rogan one. I said, who's doing the impression of Joe Rogan? He goes, that's an AI generated voice, man. And I was like, wow, like what? And it was this whole big thing with voice actors and the programs. I mean, look what they did with James Earl Jones on Darth Vader, and what they, I guess that the Luke one was the one, Luke Skywalker from Book of Boba Fett was where I went, well, that sounds pretty robotic. And maybe it starts to change. Maybe they start to able to add a little bit more emotion. And it's a scary time for creators. I'll tell you that, because there is stuff like if you were able to, and I know that they basically gave the rules of what you can do, what it can determine, what it can't, but as it gets better, imagine going, hey, look, I've got an idea to do all this. I always bring the Darth Bane. So I take the Darth Bane novels and I say to the program, they want to, you know, adapt it and have the AI basically turn those three novels into scripts. You know, just adapt it into a certain way. I'd be so curious what the AI program came up with. And I don't know how it exactly works. I don't know if it could work that way or not work the way, but maybe eventually it does. And there's a way for... What I'm curious about is, could they do something along the lines of like using that program? I'm just using that example. Let's say you can have the AI program adapt that book, the first book, into a screenplay. And you're not submitting it to the Writers Guild. You're not doing any of that, but you're using it as an outliner to anybody that comes in and go, hey, look, this is the script that we had the AI generate. And we kind of like what the program came up with and you'll get credit for it. Just go and do this. Like, why couldn't you use the program that way? And again, I could be speaking completely out of my asshole here. I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, but if that's even possible, but it seems like it is. And I'm so curious to get into, this is why I'm more or less bringing this up, to get into a conversation with you guys about it. What do you think about this? Is it something that they should do? Should they nip it in the bud? Skynet coming to get us, all that. And that's really it for today. That's really it. Oh, I can tell you that I finished the Last of Us game. I'll end with that. I finished The Last of Us. And I'm going to do a quick kind of review on the game itself. I loved the game, man. I loved it. And what I did, I watched the series. I played up until the point that I've already seen in the series, and then I played the game. So I didn't get spoiled. I only got spoiled once, and I did it on purpose, kind of. I started playing, and I said, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna compare, because I get all these people who were playing the game first and then comparing. I'm going to do that. I did that for one storyline, and it was the David storyline. That's all I'll say for people who haven't seen the series, and I'm going to ruin it for them. But everything that people said about this game is absolutely true. From the gameplay alone, from the story, even though I knew some of the stuff that was going to happen because I'd watched the series, it still had a major impact. There are some things I liked better in the game. There are some things I liked better in the series. But overall, it's just masterful storytelling, and you can understand it was a no-brainer to turn this into a series. I'm so glad that it happened now, these days, that it got made into a streaming series, as opposed to maybe 10 years ago, it would have been turned into a subpar film because they would have tried to condense that story into a two-hour film, and there's no way you could have done it. You just couldn't have. Maybe make it three different movies, but even then, you had to wait 3 years in between. This was the best outcome for this series. And the game the gameplay of it, it's like it gets terrifying, it gets emotional. It's great. And I'm going to do, a Twitch watch along or play along for the second game. We have the channel. We haven't really utilized it. We're going to start utilizing it more. So be on the lookout for that. But this is just a very special game, as you guys all know. You guys, people who have played it, people who haven't that have been considering it, do it. What I liked about it also was it takes noobs like me and like says, hey, you're bad at games, and if you're still trying to swim in the same place, here's a hint. Don't go that way. Go the other way, dummy. And I love that about the Naughty Dog games. They did that for Uncharted, and they did that for this one too. So big fan of the game. I think it was great. Anyway, that's all I got. Thank you today for joining me. Don't forget that tomorrow, not only are we doing Capes and Cowls in the morning, sign up today, thechristianharloff.com. Big announcements coming in tomorrow. And we hope that you join us. It's going to be a virtual event. The whole Big Thing crew is going to be there. And we hope to have you there so you can be with us on the journey, be part of the special announcements, get some of the goodness that comes with the announcements. And we hope that you join us. Free to sign up. So thechristianharloff.com. If you haven't already, hit that button, man. Subscribe to the channel today. Get us to 100. We're getting close. Brett and Roxy will be back next week. Don't worry. They'll be at that special event tomorrow. But thank you for joining me here today. I really appreciate you. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. We'll see you on the flip side. It's the Big Thing. It's me. It's you. See you later. Bye.